Now, there is a simultaneous thing that is going on here, and it is this. We have now come to the midpoint of this seven-year period and the beginning of what's called the Great Tribulation. How do we know when we have reached the middle of the 70th week of Israel, or 70th week of Daniel? The altar of God that is erected in Israel is put out. It is stopped by the Antichrist. That is the clearest indication of where you're at. 30 days later, the two witnesses begin their ministry, and from there prophesy on to the end of the tribulation. All right, now why do I say 30 days later? Because Daniel identifies that the tribulation lasts 1,290 days. The Antichrist rules 42 months from this period. All right? So we're doing a little math here, but there is a difference of 30 days. And so we're a little speculation here that 30 days after this altar goes cold, the two witnesses begin their ministry. Now, there's been a lot of speculation as to who these two are going to be. Some people believe, because of the description of the ministry and their abilities, closing up the sky, the plagues, that this is Moses and Elijah. And they would cite for us the Mount of Transfiguration, fact that Elijah never died, that Moses died, but he was in the presence of the angels on Mount Nebo when that happened. There's all sorts of reasons that people would give. Other people say, no, this is Elijah and Enoch. These are the only two men that never died, and they have to come back and die because the Bible says it is appointed for man once to die and then comes the judgment. The problem with that is I'm sort of hoping not to die. There is a promise that some of us will not die, so we can't say that Elijah and Enoch have to die. They do not have to die any more than you have to die. If you're alive when Jesus returns, you don't die. You are raptured. You are changed. You are glorified. You don't have to die. All right? So that doesn't hold up. It's all speculation. What we know is what they do. And what they do is they declare the prophecies, they condemn the world, and the people just hate them. Here's where I want us to go back in time and mentally connect. If we're looking for a biblical example of these two, I think we find it in Moses and Aaron. I'm not saying this is going to be Moses and Aaron reincarnated or resurrected. I'm saying the style of the ministry is Moses and Aaron. Why? Because it is Moses and Aaron that go before Pharaoh and declare the judgments of God. And I plead with you to take some time to go back and read slowly and in detail all of the things that take place during that period of time. Incidentally, it is not until Moses is given God's special redemptive name, the Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, that Moses really has any success with Pharaoh. Moses goes down there, he goes in to see Pharaoh. He says, God says, let my people go. And Moses says, I don't know your God. And he turns around, he makes matters worse on the children of Israel. And Moses goes pouting back to God and says, what's up with this? I went and said what you told me to say. And he said, all right, well, there's a reason why it didn't work. Because now I've set the stage to reveal to you my most holy name. Because even Abraham didn't know me by this name. Abraham knew me by El Shaddai, God Almighty. But you are going to know me by this name, because this is the redemptive name, and this is the name that all of the plan of salvation is going to be covered by. Now, in English, we pronounce that Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh as Jehovah or Yahweh. I can promise you neither one of those are correct. And I can tell you why. Because I just said them, and you're still sitting up staring at me. Once a year at Yom Kippur, the sixth feast, the highest holy day, the high priest would go into the temple, into the Holy of Holies, and he would come out, and three times, only on this day, as the children of Israel were gathered in the temple courts, he would speak the name of God. He would pronounce the Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Now, I'm not speaking the name of God when I say Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey. I am speaking the names of the letters. It's like I'm saying to you the A, B, C, D. Okay? Only once a year would that happen. And the history records consistently that at the speaking of the name of God, everyone in the temple courts, and you're just going to have to forgive me for using this term, were instantly slain in the spirit. I don't like that term, but it's the only term I can use that gives you a visual image of what I'm talking about. Bam! All of them. Benny Hinn would be jealous. Okay? At the speaking of the name of God, we do not know the correct pronunciation of the name of God. Okay? And if the Jehovah's Witness comes to your door and says, well, you're all wrong because you're not using this name, first of all, God said, don't you even think about profaning my name. All right? And so that is the most holy name. And it may have an impact on some other things we're going to talk about, and we'll get to that in a little bit.